Trusky Ranch. Complete player development. Body, tools, makeup. Six Tool Nation.
Nate Trosky, welcome to CPD, a weekly show dedicated to meeting the needs of the amateur player, the aspiring amateur player in pursuit of both college and professional baseball. I'm in studio with my double play combo, lifelong learner, ABCA National High School Coach of the Year, Trent Mongero. Trent, BED better every day, brother. How you doing?
Amen, brother. It is so good to be back after my long break. Of course, we were in season and we had a great season, and I don't want to bore everybody, but I'm now retired and we're going to be on CPD every week, brother.
CPD. And, you know, we are excited tonight, especially excited about our guest, you know, a player that we've watched growing up, and his two sons actually play in our organization now, and they are up and coming prospects, going to be in professional baseball in the near future. So we're excited to have Mark McGuire, the one and only Mark McGuire, on the show, Trent. What do you think, brother?
Wow, it doesn't get much better than that. We've had some really good ones, but this one takes the cake for sure.
It does take the cake. And, you know, our show, CPD, is about complete player development, BTM, body, tools, makeup. And we're talking about reaching the ceiling. And our goal here is to help players stay out of the graveyard, out of the great disparity of not reaching their dreams, reaching their goals. And we know not everybody's suited to be a big leaguer, but we want each player to reach the height of their ceiling. And that's why we have Mark on today to talk not only about his journey, but also about the journey of these players that we have the opportunity to experience and to influence. We're going to hand it off to our closer, Tony Hilde. What do you got for us, Tony?
All kinds of stuff. I got goosebumps though with Mr. McGuire on the show. What an opportunity for us. But we have some really great stuff happening with the Trosky Ranch. We just released the Trosky Mongero coaching membership this week. You need to check it out. It's unbelievable. And then obviously our infield membership, which is rolling. And then we got camps coming up all over the country in Jacksonville next weekend, Cleveland, June 4th, 15th and 16th, and we're going to be heading to Wisconsin. And also want to say thank you to all of our sponsors with Soldier Sports, WinVR, Warstick, Jaeger Sports, Quality at Bats, Rapsodo, and Warstick. What a great group of people supporting us. So look forward to the show and Mr. McGuire.
Right. And we'll be right back with our special guest, Mark McGuire, the one and only, and Trent Mongero and Tony Hilde.
Welcome back to Trosky Ranch, Complete Player Development with Nate Trosky and Trent Mongero.
Welcome back, Nate Trosky, Trent Mongero, Tony Hilde, and our guest, special guest, Mark McGuire, two-time World Series champion with the Oakland A's as a player and as a coach with the St. Louis Cardinals. 1998, he broke the record, the home run record in the major leagues for 70 home runs, broke the rookie record with 49 home runs, and he has a stat that still stands today, which 10.6 home runs, 10.6 at bats, one home run for 10.6. And that's a home run record that stands today. And Mark, we want to welcome you. We could go on and on about your resume, and we're gonna cut it there so we could talk about your kids and player development. So how you doing? And welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nate. Tony, Trent, appreciate it. I love talking baseball, so any chance I get time to do it, my boys are probably tired of hearing me talk about baseball. So I just love spreading the knowledge, and, you know, you only get knowledge by a lot of failure. So I had a lot of failure throughout my career, and you create knowledge by overcoming failure. So I love talking baseball. It's in my blood, always will be. And I was lucky enough to play 16 years in the big leagues, and, you know, so I love this game dearly.
That's awesome. Well, you have two boys right now. We know you have a slew of kids. You have triplets.
Yeah.
You have a few sons, and then two of them, we've had the opportunity, both Max and Mason, they've committed to Oklahoma. Yes. And one's a 2021 graduate, one's a 2022, and we've had the honor to have them a part of the Trosky national team this last year, and also coming up for Mason. He's a right-handed pitcher, and Max right now is, you know, he's recognized one of the top players in the country, and Mason is on his way. So we'd like to get into a little bit about player development. You know, what are you seeing today? We're seeing these athletes doing things that at an earlier age that was not done before. And, you know, what do you think we're doing well right now? What do you think are maybe some areas that we could do better?
Well, that's a great question. It's a broad question. Well, that was the reason why I walked away from, I had another year left in my contract with San Diego as the bench coach. And my boys were just starting to get into high school and I just needed to be there. I think I'd totally regret it if I wasn't there. You know, it's not that I had to do the coaching. I just love baseball. I love passing on knowledge. So I ended up stepping aside and coming back. But one thing I told my boys was, hey, listen, if I do this, I said, I'm going to be dead honest with you. I'm going to speak the truth. And sometimes you're not going to like it, but this is reality of life. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And you know, and they've gotten it. They've improved tremendously over the last few years. Yes, they both have committed. Max will be entering Oklahoma this August, I believe. And then Mason's got one more year of high school left.
That's great. So with their player development, kind of their journey, what would be different on what they're doing maybe than what you did? And what are some things that you maybe would add to your career as is coming up? Because back then, you know, a lot of guys are playing three sports. You know, mm-hmm. We see players playing one to two and all the major events right now, from the area codes to the Perfect Game events to Team USA. It's all happening in the summer, in the fall, right? The winter usually slows down, but it's very difficult. And, you know, we see it. I've been with the area codes for 20 years and we see a large percentage of the top players that are ranked and getting drafted and, you know, committing to the top Power Five schools. We see that a large percentage of them are baseball guys that play a lot more baseball than we did. So there's obviously some advantages and disadvantages. So what do you see in your son's development and kind of the journey of what other players are doing?
Well, I mean, I don't know necessarily that my son's development. I just think it's the young kids today. I think they're too static. I think the playing several sports was actually really, really good for us growing up. I never played physical football, but flag football. We were always outside. We were playing tennis ball, baseball, Nerf ball, wiffle ball. We were playing basketball. Basically, as a young kid, we were learning how to be flexible, Gumby-like. Today's kids are very strict. That's why you're seeing a lot of injuries, I truly believe. They're just growing up static, the phone, the computer. And then you get to the fundamentals of the game. And I was shocked to see how high schools are run. The fundamentals aren't taught. They expect the kids, because they play travel ball, when you come to the high school, they expect you to know everything. Nobody knows everything. I didn't know everything when I got to the big leagues. You're constantly learning. But when you have kids that don't know how to run the bases, don't know how to slide, don't know how to hit a cutoff guy, don't know how to use their feet and throw a ball across the infield, it troubled me. And sometimes I sit there and I'm like shaking my head. I'm like, these kids are really talented, but they're not doing the basics that actually will benefit them in the long run. And the way the game is changed right now, where hitters are in the cage and pitchers are on the mound with a computer checking out their spin rate and stuff, they're not out there playing. I don't personally believe there's enough conditioning done anymore. Not that you have to. I don't truly believe in young kids need to be in the weight room. I don't understand why they want to keep up with the Joneses. If you want to say it that way, you're going to gain strength as you get bigger and stronger, especially when you start getting into the 18, 19, 20 years of age. When you're in the weight room at 12 and 13 and 14, personally, I think that's going to hurt you in the long run. And you start looking at all these injuries, especially pitchers in high school. It's staggering to listen to orthopedic surgeons doing Tommy John on kids that are that young. And then now you're starting to see college and pro ball guys, major league guys are having their second Tommy Johns. It's ridiculous. So I know it's sort of talking around about, but I sort of kicked myself by saying, God, maybe I should have coached high school ball, you know, because I will tell you one thing, the players that will play for me will be fundamentally sound and they will know about it. They will know how to turn a corner and hit a base. They will know how to slide feet first, not head first. It's so ridiculous seeing these kids slide head first today. There's no reason to. I know they'll know how to hit a cutoff guy. I know how they're going to call a ball up in the air. It's not ball, ball, ball. It's I got it. I got it. I got it. That way somebody's getting out of your way. This is things that I've observed, and that I sit there and I write, I don't necessarily write things down when I watch the game. My mind is catching it. So my boys hear it when they get home and sometimes they don't like it, but that's the only way they're going to learn, because they're not getting taught at high school. They're not getting taught if they're making mistakes, they're not pulling them aside and saying, hey, listen, we need to move your feet a little bit more to get that ground ball. I think there's nothing good happens when your feet are still. Nothing. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a 30-year high school coach, I can echo what you're saying, Mark. The teams and the programs, I'm in Georgia, by the way. The guys that pay attention to the smaller details and teaching, those programs do very, very well. And I think the trap that you mentioned is huge. And that same trap of thinking that kids learn this stuff in travel ball, so we don't have to teach it in high school, I think is happening at the collegiate level as well, to a degree. Some of the college coaches are going, they learn this in high school, so we don't have to teach it. Plus they're playing travel ball, showcase ball. We don't have to teach it. The power metrics are big. You turn on Instagram, it's cage bomb, home runs, exit, velo. But my question to you is this, and we may have to come back after the break, because I'm really interested to get your take on this. Do you think it's more important to learn how to become a complete hitter first and then let the power, when the man muscles and all that, come in? Or is it reversed, like it seems to be now, like where we teach power early and then teach them how to hit later, to use all fields to stay on balls and through balls and handle balls on different planes? I think you understand what I'm getting at. Yeah, what's your take on absolutely. It?
Yeah, let's just go back to the bit. Let's go play some Nerf ball, tennis ball, wiffle ball. What are you trying to do there? See ball, hit ball. You have to know how the eyes work and the eyes to the barrel of the bat. And if all you're concentrating on swinging hard as you can, there's a good chance 99% of the time your eyes aren't even behind the bat or the ball, if you want to call it.
Right.
Yeah, I would much rather somebody being a complete hitter, and then when we see they have some power, then we'll start working with the power.
We're not ending it, but we're going to come back right after the break and pick up on that a little bit more. Hang with us with Mark McGuire right back after this break.
Welcome back to Trosky Ranch, Complete Player Development with Nate Trosky and Trent Mongiero.
Hey, Trent Mongiero, Nate Trosky, Tony Hilde with CPD. We are back with Mark McGuire. Yes, the Mark McGuire. You know him for home runs. And we're talking right now on a topic we just left off on before the break about, do we develop hitters first and the power later, or do we work on exit velo and launch angle and lifting, whatever, early, and then, learn how to hit later? And I kind of cut him short. I apologize. I gave you like 1 minute to try to answer that question. And so now you got a little more time. Go ahead and expand upon it a little bit.
Well, I truly believe, I think that's we have to understand these young kids. We have to see what kind of hitters they are. Not everybody's going to hit home runs. Let's just take the White Sox, Mandrigal. He knows who he is. He hits the ball on the ground. He puts the ball in play, and we need more players like that. Nothing good happens when you put the ball up in the air and it goes nowhere, and nothing good happens when you strike out. But something good happens when you put the ball in play. The defense has to move. Something good is going to happen. He knows who he is, and he's not a type of guy that's going to sit there and hopefully they'll never happen to him. I had a couple of players, Ryan Terrio and Darwin Barney, who both were similar hitters to him when they played. And 2 years after they had successful first 2 years in the big leagues, they came to him and they said, hey, we need to work on your OPS. We want you to hit the ball in the air. And you know what it did? Ruined their careers. So Manny Grewal, he needs to stay who he is. And I know he's with Tony, former manager and Hall of Fame manager. I guess my almost like a father to me. And he will be who he is. Like you have the shifts with him. He'll find a hole. He'll find a way to manipulate his bat, his hands, to get that ball in play. And we need more players like that, because more players like that is going to have a winning ball club.
Nick Madrigal is being rewarded, because right now in the scouting world, for the most part, and even in the college world, I mean, college is a little different than professional baseball, and the ultimate goal for college players and even high school players, ultimately everybody wants to be a professional. So when we go to these major events, from even a Team USA event or an area code event, the scouts are there, right? And all the kids know that's the next step. So they're being rewarded for power numbers. Now, Madrigal is changing. Now, are you seeing now a change? Because I had the opportunity to coach Nick since he's been 14. So I've seen his journey and I know exactly who he is. My nephew also committed to Oregon State, where he, you know, finished up before he signed professionally. And I've watched him, I've seen him, I've coached him, and he's being rewarded at least by some, because when his hand-eye coordination is ridiculous, they say he might have some of the best vision in the history, maybe of the game, because when he gets tested, he always tests like number one. So he's at the top of the top from pitch recognition. So he has a gift and he's using that gift. But my question is he being rewarded, and will more players be rewarded from your understanding of professional baseball, or is he just one guy, or can we go back to teaching like what Trent's talking about, the hit tool? Because if I have a group of 100 players and I say, how many guys hit more than 5 home runs this year? You know how many hands go up? Zero, like zero in a season. Like that's like maybe 1 to 0. It's like there's very few home run hitters and everybody's trying to be that guy. So are we going back into time where the hit tool, Rod Carew, Pete Rose, you know, these numbers are being recognized?
Hope so. I hope so. I mean, we need more players like this. Believe me, the fans are showing by not being interested in the game of baseball. Even you have Don Mattingly coming out a couple of weeks ago saying the game is boring. I'm in the dugout as a manager. The game is getting really boring right now, and it's hard to watch when guys are taking left-hand turns, right-hand turns, or popping up in the infield, men in scoring position, and striking out. When you have a guy like that that can manipulate anything he wanted to do, Tony Gwynn. People went to the ballpark to watch Tony Gwynn hit. Wade Boggs. I mean, he can manipulate. Great eyes, great hand-eye coordination. BP, he could probably win a home run derby if he wanted to. But he chose how to manipulate the ball, hit it off the Green Monster, did a hell of a job in Yankee Stadium when he played there. We need more players like that. Because when you have, it's soon to be, both leagues are going to have 9 hitters in the lineup. It's inevitable. We need players like that in that lineup that will complement everybody else. You have to keep the line moving, and he's one guy that will keep the line moving. And I personally think, I hope it really, really happens. And if you go back to the young kids, they going to these events and playing these tournaments. Yeah. Get hits, learn how to hit the baseball first. And then, you know what? You don't know when you're going to grow. You might grow 5 inches by the time you get out of college. And then you might have some power, but you're going to have the hit tool. You're going to have the really good eyes, know how to manipulate, see the rotation on that ball, make the adjustment you need to make in that millisecond, and hit the ball.
Were the two players you're talking about with the Padres that actually were being manipulated with their approach, were those recent major leaguers that happened recently?
No, the two, Darwin Barney and Ryan Terrio, those were players that I coached. Ryan Terrio started off, actually they both started with the Chicago Cubs. Yeah. And they used to manipulate the ball, just hit to the right side, and they, you know, exit velo wasn't great. And then a couple of years, they had 2 full years, I believe, in the big leagues. And because conversations, when I was a hitting coach, you'd have conversations like that. And they said, well, they wanted me to work on my OPS. Well, you're not an OPS guy. You're not that. And that's who you are. You are a guy that can hit the ball, put the ball in play, and keep the line moving. And there's not enough of those guys right now.
Right. It's the same concept of the pitcher who's trying to throw hard early who doesn't know how to pitch. The pitchability is number one. The hitability is number one. And if you get velocity late, what we see is velocity plus pitchability equals a major leaguer, not velocity with no pitchability. So we're going backwards. We're doing it with the hit tool. We're doing it with the throw tool. And it's a major, major problem.
That's why you're seeing more guys being hit right now. You have too many young players up there that have good velocity, good spin, but they're rotating these kids in and out. They should probably be in double A and triple A for another 2 or 3 years. They have no command of their balls. And, you know, everybody's teaching, throw a strike, throw as hard as you can for a short period of time, just get a strike. They're not talking about, hey, let's work the down number four quadrant. Let's go work up here. They're not teaching anymore. They want the spin. They want you to just throw a strike. And it's sad because how do you know that these kids can't be a Clayton Kershaw? How do you know these kids can't be a Verlander? You know, it's like, because we're limiting these kids to the potential because of what they want to do right now. I call it, they're training the hitters and pitchers today for sprints. They're not training anybody for a marathon anymore. This game is a marathon. And they're shortening these lives of these players. And it's like, I don't know why they're allowing this to happen, because we have some really, really talented kids today. And they're doing all these new methods, but they're getting hurt on a record pace more than anything in the last 3 or 4 years. I truly believe it has to do with training. I really truly believe it has to do with this velocity thing. And it's just like, you know, nobody wants to talk about old school. Old school, you get your arm in shape, long distance throwing, foul pole to foul pole, and you run. You condition your legs. Nobody does any running anymore. Nobody does any conditioning anymore. They all do it inside. And they stretch on foam rollers. They don't have a good stretching routine. We're getting all these soft tissue injuries in the big leagues and colleges. And, you know, it's just like it's bothersome, because I really truly believe this stuff can be nipped in the bud. And we're doing all these new methods, but these new methods aren't good for the kids because they're getting injured at a record pace. And it's like somebody's got to wake up and say, let's go back to maybe some old school stuff. Let's go back to, let's get our pitchers conditioned and get their legs really strong and big. Don't listen to Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan, what did he do? All he did is work his legs and run and condition his legs so he can go 8 to 9 innings. We're never allowing these kids to, you know, hey, 85 pitches to 100 pitches, and then you're done. Now, how do we know if this kid can't be 120 pitch guy? Because we're never extending that kid for a long period.